Module 1, Lesson 1. Intro. What you'll discover this lesson. The basics. We're going to go back over the things you probably learned early on. How shame keeps us in the dark and in pain. Cycle reframe. We're going to think about the cycle differently than ever before. Initiation reimagined. How might we feel about our bodies if our initiation into womanhood looked different? Know thyself, my favorite quote. We'll talk about why that's my favorite quote for this work. The basics, and nothing but the basics. For most of us, this is what we learned about menstruation somewhere along the line of elementary school. Notice if any of this sounds familiar to you.
When an egg is fully developed, it leaves the ovary and enters one of the fallopian tubes. This process is called ovulation. The egg is then transported slowly toward the uterus, so slowly that it travels only a few inches in 3 or 4 days. During that time, it softens and begins to be absorbed, unless it has been fertilized by a male sperm on the way. During this regular process, the walls of the uterus have been building up to prepare for the nesting of the possible fertilized egg. Then, sometime after ovulation, if fertilization has not occurred, menstruation takes place. This is a regular cleaning process. The thickened membrane lining the walls of the uterus breaks down and is cast off. This broken tissue, together with the blood and mucus which accompanies it, forms the substance of the menstrual discharge which passes out through the vaginal opening. There is nothing mysterious or strange about it. The process is as natural as the peeling and replacement of skin cells.
And that is all most of us learn about menstruation, other than having our own experience or maybe having a trusted friend explain how a tampon works. Most women haven't learned too much else about their monthly flow, let alone menopause, after this. If we're lucky, we might also have learned that each egg is approximately the size of a pinhead. Women are born with all the eggs they're ever going to have. That women are born with about 2 million eggs, but only have 450 to 300,000 left at puberty. And when a woman runs out of eggs, the ovaries stop producing estrogen and she goes through menopause. But why is that all we know about menstruation when there's so much more to learn? One reason is because scientifically, medically, culturally, even personally, this topic is riddled with shame. It is the definition of a taboo subject. Taboo means an action, word, or subject that is avoided for religious or social reasons. But what's really interesting is that the root word of taboo is the Polynesian word tapwa, and tapwa means menstruation. It also has a second meaning, though. It means sacred. In most Western cultures, we have an initiation that includes whispering to a friend, "Oh my gosh, I got my period," and hearing from our mothers, "Wrap this in tissue paper and put it at the bottom of the trash can so your father never sees it." But we're left to fend for ourselves with our fluctuating hormones, our blood-stained panties, and questions about what this all really means. The problem with that is that girls then tend to feel that perhaps their body is betraying them. Perhaps the female body is wrong. In this way, we stay in the dark. We don't learn anything new, and we never learn how to thrive as cyclical beings. And that's a problem, because it's well-researched and documented that in Western societies, girls' self-esteem plummets at the time of puberty. The constant negativity surrounding this natural body function can lead to stress, depression, disconnection from our bodies, period pain, and over the long term, even disease. In 2015, the number one cause of death for teenage girls age 15 to 19 changed. It is now suicide. So the question is, if at the very time we start bleeding for the first time, puberty, around 11, 12, 13 years old, our self-esteem plummets, then how could changing our relationship with puberty, with menstruation, change the way we feel about our bodies and change the way we feel about ourselves? This low self-esteem or this shame, menstrual pain, disconnection can follow us all the way into adulthood. My story has this element to it. I went to several different doctors when I was in intense period pain. And one doctor said to me, "Your body is pissed that you haven't had a baby yet." And the craziest thing about this is that I thought that was a valid reason as to why I was in such intense pain. I thought, oh yeah, that must be why I'm suffering. My body is pissed at me. I am being punished. For years after that, as my period pain got worse and worse and worse until eventually it was out of control, I told people, oh, my body's just mad. I haven't had a baby yet. This is called a negative feedback loop. Basically, what that means is that a woman is in pain. She's told being a woman is pain. She believes being a woman is pain. She then has more pain. And the cycle repeats. But here's what's really interesting. In cultures where period stigma does not exist, period pain is virtually unheard of. That's right. Woman after woman after woman experiences no period pain when the culture doesn't demand that that woman should feel period pain. I also just learned that this happens in birth. In cultures where they don't have ER episodes where the women are screaming in pain and talking about, get me the drugs, women haven't been told that birth is really painful. And therefore, they have very little, if any, pain during birth. So what is this mind-body connection? And how can we change our mind into believing that periods do not cause pain? I was in such excruciating womb pain for so many years that I finally had a girlfriend say to me, it's like your uterus is yelling at you all the time. You two need to go to couples counseling. And I laughed. I thought that was funny. But that night when I got home, before I went to bed, I put my hands on my womb and I envisioned myself in therapy with my uterus sitting next to me. And I imagined saying to my uterus, all you do is yell at me. You hurt me. And then the most astonishing thing happened. I heard my uterus say back to me, if you would listen to me when I whispered, I wouldn't have to yell to get your attention. This was such an aha moment for me. I realized this huge truth bomb. Your body is not punishing you. It's communicating with you. I had totally bought into the idea that I was being punished for not having a child in time, and therefore the pain I deserved. We do the same thing. Being a woman is pain. Therefore, the pain I feel is deserved. It's not true. We've been misled. Your body is not punishing you. It's communicating with you. And it's always moving you in the direction of your personal growth. I wish somewhere along the line that someone had said to me, intense period pain is not normal. This is true. Intense period pain is not normal. PMS is not normal. In fact, if you're having either of these symptoms, your body is trying to tell you something is off. Perhaps your hormones may be off balance. You may be going against your intuition. You may be lacking nutrients of some kind. You may need to reduce stress in your life. or you may have something else going on. All of these signs and symptoms are communication, not punishment for being a woman or delaying pregnancy. So how do we start rewiring our brain and thinking differently when it comes to menstruation? Well, let's start with reframing the cycle, meaning seeing it from a different angle. Did you know that there are biological benefits to menstruating? And we're not just talking about being able to create life, which is an amazing benefit. You live the creative cycle each month because of your cycle. And when we live in sync with this creative cycle, we can become so productive and creative. Number two, the ancients celebrated menstruation. For tens of thousands of years, the feminine was considered sacred and menstrual rites were revered. And number three, did you know that menstruation is the root of feminine spirituality? A woman's waxing and waning energy cycles and emotions are calculable and predictable and help her reach deep states of altered consciousness. So what if we had learned all of these things and more? Let's go back to our initiation and reimagine it for a second. It used to be that when girls would reach bleeding age, they were initiated into the secret world of the feminine. And here are some things you might have been told if you had been initiated. Bleeding is a blessing. You are the sacred feminine, the mother and bearer of all life. Menstruation is an integral part of this process and is worthy of reverence and respect. Nature supports your cycle. Nature is not able to produce abundance in summer without the fertile void of winter. So too do you have a time of rest, a time of rebirth, a time of full expression, and a time of harvest in your cycle. The moon supports your cycle. You are intrinsically tied to the moon and her lunar cycles. Do you look up at the night sky and judge her, or stand in awe of her kinetic beauty? Cycle powers are superpowers. Just as the moon's influence over the tides shift, so does your energy wax and wane. You are the living embodiment of the creative cycle. You have gifts and strengths in each varying phase of your cycle. You are exquisitely unique. There is no one else on the planet like you, nor has there ever been, nor will there ever be. And your cycle is uniquely tailored to you, and she has messages that are meant for you. This saying hangs on the ancient temples of Delphi in Greece, a place that has been linked to menstrual rituals of the past. It says, "Nyothi se afton," and it literally means, "Know thyself." Through understanding our cycles, we are able to understand ourselves as cyclical beings in ways that we didn't even know were possible before. We'll be able to know your cyclical superpowers. Know how to listen to your body. Know how to reduce stress and pain when your body's asking for that. Know how you're tied to the cycles of nature. Know how to give yourself exactly what you need. Know how to manage energy for maximum creativity. In all these ways and more, you'll learn to know thyself. It's rich, fertile ground to be in relationship with yourself. But first, you have to dig up the dirt. So that's what we're going to do next. Find the icon that says journal prompt and print out those journal prompts. Answer the questions in your own journal. Be as thorough as possible. It's important to find out how we feel about our bodies, how we feel about our cycles, so that we can explore what's there and get curious about how that could change. So go ahead and do that now, and we'll see you in lesson 2.